listener.
Kickbump acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land in which we're recording this podcast, the Yolukut Wulam clan of the Boonwurrung, who are part of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respect to their elders, past and present, and extend our respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Welcome to the Kickbump podcast, your fortnightly D&M on all things motherhood. One, two, three, four. Hi, guys. Hi, Lindsay.
Hello, Steph.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm buzzing from that conversation that we just had that you're all about to hear about childhood education, kindergarten. I don't have a child, but it just sounds so awesome.
It was very informative. I agree. So we had the incredible Catherine Hayden on. She's director and principal consultant at Hayden Consulting. She's an early childhood consultant. She has a diploma of teaching early childhood and a master's of education, early childhood education. So very much equipped to help us understand kindergarten. And this episode has come off the back of Harvey starting daycare, which some of you might know already, but he started daycare late last year. And I was kind of like, I've got daycare under control. What about kindergarten? What's he going to get out of it? When's the right time he starts? You know, what happens with their social and emotional development in that time? Because I start to think about it. And I think some of my earliest memories in life are between like 3 to 5 years old. I can't really remember anything before that. So it must be a pretty crucial time in our development if we can think back to that long. So Catherine educates us on all things kindergarten, answers a lot of questions that I had personally, but I know a lot of you have brought up in the community before. So I think you guys are going to get a lot out of this episode because I certainly did. Before we get into it though, as always, I do have a little Harvey update for you guys. One of them is, funnily enough, some sayings that is in his vocabulary. And I think anyone with a toddler would totally be able to relate to this, but some of the, or is around toddlers. Some of the stuff that they say is just so funny and you wonder where it's come from. And to be honest, a lot of Harvey's sayings have come from Bluey. Like, I have no doubt. He started to say, no too spicy to like a bunch of different foods that had no spice whatsoever in them before he'd even tasted it, because there's a Bluey episode where they're waiting for takeaway. And I can't remember if it was Bingo or Bluey, but one of them is saying, no, too spicy. So like they just pick things up from anywhere. And I think the funniest things is Josh and I, we have quite a funny kind of vocabulary in the comfort of our own home. Like we talk a bit weird and goofy and a bit funny. And so I never really thought about it until I started to hear Harvey repeat some of the things we're saying. So one thing he's saying all the time is silly duffer. And I just think it's the cutest thing ever. Silly duffer and cheeky bugger. So like he'll be like, oh, dad's such a cheeky bugger. I just think it's the cutest thing that I've ever heard. And then the random ones that he's been saying lately, one is come back in 6 minutes. So the first time this happened, he was like, he was very assertive towards me and like shut his bedroom door on me and like then opened it slightly and looked at me and he said, come back in 6 minutes, and shut it. And I was like, oh my God, is this like, is Josh doing timeout or something? Like, what's going on? And it wasn't that. Like Josh, I mean, if he ever does timeout, it's for like 30 seconds, not 6 minutes. So I was like, this is weird. Where have you got 6 minutes from? And that is one that I haven't been able to work out. Like Josh and I are like, what movie or what has happened for him to think of 6 minutes? Because he'll often say it. He'll be like, I'm going to go look for my monster truck. I'll be back in 6 minutes. Like, okay. Very specific. But he has no idea what 6 minutes is. Yeah. Like he'll be back in 10 seconds. So it's quite funny. And then the other one he's saying, again, no idea why, is remember that movie? But he'll say it at the end of a sentence that's completely irrelevant. Like he'll, it's like he thinks of a memory of something that's happened. Like what Josh has been doing and what I've kind of started to do as well is a really great time sucker to get them like doing something that's not on the screen and gives you your hands free time, is you freeze some toys in the freezer in Tupperware, and then you give them hot water or warm water in something. And basically they have this task to like retrieve the toys, mm-hmm. and you pretend that Elsa from Frozen had like taken their toys and frozen it. And he gets so excited by it and he's just loves it. But now anytime anything is missing, he'll be like, oh, frozen, got him. It's frozen and it's going to go outside and then I've got to put hot water on it and I've got to. And so we've kind of shot ourselves in the foot here because now anytime something's going missing, he expects it to like rock up frozen and we're like, shit, we better find it. But it's quite funny because he'll always then end those sentences like, remember that movie? And it's not he's not talking about Frozen because he'll say it even in other instances, just at the end of a sentence, remember that movie. But I think he's meaning, do you remember when that happened? So it's just so funny because like they say all these random things and you have to just kind of like work out, spend enough time with them to understand where they're going with it. And it's just so funny. And then the last update I have for you is a little bit of a tip. So with Harvey's sleep at the moment, I really love singing him to sleep, but not all the way to sleep, just like a little bit and then I'll leave. But at the moment, what he's been wanting is for me to then sit on the stairs because I've seen from a lot of sleep consultants and stuff for kids, sometimes it's not just standing right next to them. It's saying, or you have a bit of like a tiered approach. So like first you're sitting on their bed, then you're standing by the door, like in the inside and you was just saying like, oh, I'll just be here for a little bit longer. And you just kind of speak them through it. And then the next step is like sitting outside and you say to them, I'm just going to be on the stairs. I can come back in and check on you. And it's like, because they kind of have this idea that you're still kind of there or you're kind of coming back. They're a little bit more comfortable rather than you just leaving completely. So I've been doing that and I've been sitting on the stairs and singing the song. I sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow and I'll sing that like a couple of times on loop, like until I've kind of reckoned he's either asleep or like getting there and then I'll leave. When he's either overtired or just not ready to go to bed, he'll be like, keep singing. Like what? As soon as I stop, he's like, what? No, keep going. Which can be a real time suck. Like I could be sitting on the staircase for like 40 minutes singing and it's like always at dinner time. And, you know, anyway, so what I did the other day, because Josh wasn't home and I really wanted to get dinner going because my mind was just going, okay, if I don't get dinner going now, we're not going to eat until like 8:30. We won't go to bed till, anyway, I was doing all the maths in my head. And so I filmed myself on my phone. And I sung through probably like a minute and a half's worth of the song and some just like humming and stuff like that. I then put it into CapCut, which is where I edit all my videos for like Instagram and TikTok. And I just duplicated the video until the video got to about 18 minutes long. Mm-hmm. So what I've been doing, and it's worked a treat. Well, I don't say it's worked a treat. It's worked okay. The other day he was very overtired and it's not that he worked out that it was the phone, but he just like was, I think he then expected it just would never end, you know, which is not, we don't want that. We don't want him like listening out for it to never end. It's supposed to send him off to sleep. But for the few times it has worked, I thought it was a really great tip because what I did was then I'd play it just outside of his room at the top of the stairs loud enough so that it sounded like it was me sitting there. And then I snuck downstairs, got dinner going, like cleaned up a little bit, was doing a lot of stuff. And I was like, wow, this is a great mum hack. So, you know, if you're someone who sings your child to sleep, even from the other side of the door, because it probably wouldn't work in their bed, they'd be able to tell that it's a phone, but from the other side of the door, like give it a go.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier. I'm just waiting though for the day that he opens the door, and because luckily that day that he was not going to sleep, he came to the door, but I saw on the monitor on Josh's phone that he was doing that. So I ran back up to the top of the stairs and stopped the video and like sat there like, it's me. I've been here this whole time. So one day he will absolutely open it and realize there's a phone there, but for now it's working. Anyway, hope you guys enjoyed the Harvey update, but what we are here for is learning all things kindergarten with Catherine. So here is my conversation. Catherine, thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolute pleasure to be here.
It's kind of selfish of me, really, this topic of today, because my son is almost three and he's not starting three-year-old kinder this year. I don't even know if he can start next year because of the timing of his birthday in May.
Yes.
But it's still something I'm thinking about. And it really came off the back of him entering daycare and wanting him to be prepared and knowing what he was going to get out of it. Because, I mean, my husband's a stay-at-home dad and he was very much enjoying having him home and doing that. But I think we got to a point where we were like, are we holding him back from some stuff by having him not at daycare and having that option? So let's talk about kindergarten though. What is, like, why is it important for our kids to go to kindergarten in the first place?
Well, it's a great question. And it's fantastic to think about kindergarten and what you want to achieve and what you hope for your children. So it's a great thing to think about. We most certainly don't want to think that kindergarten replaces any of the work that you do and all the relationships that you have with your children, because one of the things that's really important to us as people who work in early childhood education is to see families as their children's first and most important teacher. So that's a really important thing to say right up front. But kindergarten really is an opportunity really to teach your children different things than they would be learning at home. And a good way to think about that is maybe three big ideas that have been something that I've been talking across Australia about and are part of our thinking here in Victoria as well. And the first one is to offer children a new place to belong so that they're learning what it's like to be with other children and how to sort of navigate that, because some children, of course, are by themselves at home. Some of the children have got bigger families, so they're trying to think about, you know, what does it look like to be with a group of children my own age? So that belonging part, for some children, of course, there's lots of challenges about who they are just in their early life. So they're figuring out what it means to sort of rock up and not be with their parents and all that sort of stuff. So that's a tricky thing for some children, but other children are super ready. They are like going, go away, mum, what are you still doing here? I'm so ready to be in this lovely space that's, of course, designed for them. The other one, of course, is for children just to be and be three. And we often say that the best preparation for being five is to be four. And the best preparation to being four is to be three.
Yeah.
So we want to give them time just to be and to think and imagine and to really be children. So we don't want to speed them up, or we probably want to slow them down, actually, and to allow them to be in that space. Now, for some children, that will be spending a lot of time painting a yellow painting like 14 times and being able to repeat that, and spending a lot of time sort of, you know, pushing the babies around in a pram, or a long time sort of wondering about the world. And then the other one that's really important for us in kindergarten is the opportunity to become. So they're finding what they're good at. They're figuring out what they're not quite good at. They're being challenged to carry their bag. You know, they might not know how to quite do that, take the lid off their lunchbox. They're being challenged to negotiate with somebody else with the stuff that they want, you know, and they're figuring out how to speak up. And some of them are figuring out how to stop talking so that they let somebody else talk. I think that might have been me. Anyway, but a lot of children are learning big new concepts about the world. They're learning big new concepts about mathematical thinking, language. Some children are learning English as their second or third language there. They're learning how to make friends. They're learning how to go to the toilet, wash your hands, really important things for the rest of your life. So they're becoming, who they will be. And we often talk in early childhood about the fact that we see children emerging. So, the dancers and the talkers and the thinkers and the, all these creative individuals. And we hope that they carry all of that, all of their being and their belonging and their becoming into the early years of school and for the rest of their lives.
I love that. And I've heard so much about, that kind of age between 3 and 4 is such a crucial time for kids. And I think it makes me think, I reckon my earliest memories are from that age group. I think that kind of says something in how much you're developing in that time. Can you talk to what's happening in their cognitive development between that age of 3 and 4?
Well, there's just so much happening. And now, there's a lot of information now, a lot of brain science and many people will have seen things out there in the, in the world that would indicate how important early childhood is. And our attention to that has been stronger and stronger over the years. So one of the things that's really important for us to think about is that children are developing incredibly rapidly in that time, that birth to 5 years, an incredibly rapid time of development. Now, it's not to say that you don't keep developing, so all is not lost, but we do want to say that's a very important time. And, those first years sort of set the foundation for the rest of your successful life. So we want to pay attention to that. We want to work with families around that. So all of what's happening in that space is, yes, cognitive development, but there's a lot of other things happening. So it's if you want to think about it, it's a holistic approach. So it's learning about your physical development and your social development and your emotional development, and all of your thinking capacity all at the same time. So when we set up the learning environments that our, you know, families will see when they get to kindergartens, they'll get an opportunity to see a lot of things going on, some of which they'll go, what are you doing that for? You know, like, why are they getting all messy and doing all that? You know, I don't quite get that. And we want to be saying to our families, that's about children being creative and thinking and solving problems. So you're absolutely right. The cognitive development that happens in this time is huge. We get a lot of neural pathways that are being laid down and locked in. I often try to say to early childhood educators out there, they're brain architects. They're helping to form the architecture that children will use as they go through the rest of their learning lives. And they're going to rely on that for many, many situations in as they get older. So we're sort of laying that foundation down. So just a good example of that really would be children's capacity to solve problems. Mm. So that cognitive capacity to see a problem, there's a lot of emotions in there as well and social relationships, but we might get to that. But to see a problem, think through, okay, what do I do here? What's the next steps? How do I logically sequence my thinking and then figure out what to do next? So, you know, let's just bring that down to a really practical problem, something I saw just the other day at a kindergarten where a child had lost a sock.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, in the great big scheme, correct, indeed. In the great big scheme of things, you know, the sock thing is not huge. Mm-hmm. But for us in early childhood, figuring out where your sock is and trying to figure out where you last had it, who might have it, go and look in the lost property container and then have a conversation with your mum who also wants to go now because it is, 4 o'clock, and trying to figure out where your sock is actually a really important bit of thinking. Now, a bit of emotion comes in there too because you might be a bit sad about losing your sock. But that whole process is going to be really important. So we're doing all of those things all of the time. Mm. At the same time, we might be doing more formal things around cognition, around helping children to, you know, look at, a puzzle and work out where the corner is, and if you turn it around particular ways, how do you get it in? In fact, I was sitting with a little boy called Mustafa, and he and I were working that out. It was a 4-piece puzzle, so he's just at the early stages of his 3-year-old year. But with a little bit of persistence, he managed to figure out where all the pieces went, and he felt very proud of himself. And then he went and got another puzzle, which is something we really, really want to encourage. So persistence, concentration, all those things that you're going to rely on later in life.
Yeah, I love that. That sounds fantastic. What role at the moment does kinder play? Because you mentioned before about children coming in, obviously, from diverse backgrounds and maybe different challenges. So what role can kinder play in supporting some of these kids with different backgrounds? So maybe migrants or children with socioeconomical challenges as well.
Well, I think for those children, it is about leveling the playing field for them, as to giving them, in an equity sense, a bit more of some things that maybe other children get exposed to. So, for example, language development, which we know is really important.
Sure.
And it's also language development in the context of your peers as well, being able to speak up when you're surrounded by a bunch of other children the same age as you. If you may not have had that experience before you've come to kindergarten environment, then a kindergarten environment can support you to have a bit more time and support in that area. We can also work with allied health professionals or other people who can support that, family support more broadly. We absolutely know that when we intervene with high quality early childhood education for our most disadvantaged children and the children who struggle, then we can offer children an opportunity to get the support they need so that they're in a really good position to join their colleagues and their peers as they move forward into the rest of their schooling life. The evidence is pretty clear that if we can do that, we make a substantial difference to children later in life. So we need to work with families, though, to make sure that they feel confident about that. And that's why we want to get to know families, and we want to listen to you about what you think is important about your children's life. So that's when we get to know you, right, first up, we want to talk to you about what's going on in your house. Yeah. You know, tell us what's important to you, and then we'll hopefully, you know, we'll work with you to think about what that might look like. But I think our big message to families is funded kindergarten is an offering to our children in the community, and We want children to be able to maximise the opportunities that they have to learn in those environments. And we know that will, you know, make them more successful for the rest of their lives.
That's so nice to hear. I think there's this misconception that there is no kind of personal approach to the individuals that come in. So it's nice to hear that that's not the case.
Yes. And we want to be able to, we don't want to make children all into the same. We want children to be different because our world, you know, and all of your listeners know this, you know, our world's really tricky. Our world's really complex. We're going to need all different people to do things. And I want, you know, I really have a vision that all of our children have a right to be who they are and that they feel welcome there. And we feel pretty dead proud of the fact that in early childhood education, there's lots of room for that. So there's a space for that. Now, we've got a curriculum.
I was just about to ask, is that like school? Because I wondered that. I wondered if it was like school and that there was a kind of curriculum to follow. So what's that like?
Well, we have what we call a framework.
Okay.
So I know it's just playing around with words a little bit here, but we have a framework which says to all early childhood education professionals in Victoria that we want to achieve particular things in terms of children's learning. So we want to help them be have a strong sense of identity. We want them to feel really you know, a strong sense of well-being, so physical and social and emotional well-being. We want them to be able to talk and communicate, so all of that communication skill. We want them to be connected and contribute to their community, so citizens. And also we want them to be able to learn and know how to learn. So all of those things are what we've asked our educators out there to think about. When they meet you and all the children, they get to know you all and they record information about what children can do and what they struggle with, and then they design a curriculum. So each curriculum in each service and each of these kindergarten programs is slightly different. Okay. So they're going to spend more time on some things and less time on others. So, you know, I was talking to a group of kindergarten teachers recently, and they were talking about they've got many children who come to their kindergarten who speak languages other than English. So some of them speak three languages. And so the big emphasis for them is to really celebrate that language skill, but also give children opportunity to be exposed to English. So that's going to be a really exciting feature of their work, as well as working alongside their amazing colleagues who speak those languages and really strengthen that language feature. Other children, in fact, I was having a conversation with the kindergarten teacher in Warrnambool, and she said that she does quite a lot of work with children around their physical development. So, you know, really working on, because they were sitting on the mat for a little while and all floppy. So, you know, they can't sit up and sitting up and being able to sit up at the table and sit when you eat your lunch and sit and stand and do all those things actually helps you learn because you need stamina because otherwise you'll be too tired to learn. You'll be worn out by the time the day's finished. So she does a lot of work on core muscle strength. So she works on children's core muscle strength, and that means that they can sit up better, they can stand better, they can concentrate better, and that's something that she noticed about those children. So that's a feature of her program. So each individual child too is going to have an individual approach, and then the teaching team are going to think about what that looks like and then design something that will spread across the 600 hours, you know, that they get, which is not a huge amount of time, but we in a year, and we hope that with two of those years they get more time to work on particular things. And I think also lots of our educators there are wanting to expose children to new ideas too. And, you know, we're very committed to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander perspectives. We're helping children to learn about a world beyond their gate, you know, and see what else they can find out about. And, you know, there's so much to learn, isn't there? I mean, there's so much delicious things to find out about that children can, you know, explore the world around them. And, you know, I just come from a service yesterday where they were talking about helping children to understand sustainability, but not just in environmental sustainability, but about a peaceful world. What does it mean to live in a peaceful world? How do you care for your animals and how do you care for the environment? And also, how do we make sure that we are looking after our resources, so economic sustainability? So they're doing some extraordinary work, a bunch of, you know, babies all the way through to four-year-olds. So it's pretty exciting.
That's so exciting. I can't wait to be learning from Harvey, from what he's picking up. It sounds amazing. What about, so I'm sure it might be a little bit different for those children who might have attended daycare. But what about parents who might feel that by the time their kid's three, maybe they didn't go to daycare, and they're not feeling like they're prepared or that they're ready. And maybe it's more the parent than it is the child. But what are different ways that I suppose they can prepare either themselves or the child to go into kinder at three?
Well, there's actually quite a number of children who are participating in early childhood education from birth, and they're also working with the same frameworks that I've just been talking about. So we've got a really, you know, we hope increasingly, not really seamless, really smooth. So, but there is still children who are, and that's absolutely fine. Families make those decisions about what's happening in their family life, that spend time at home first. And then the first time they go to early childhood education is three. We hope that they're participating in play groups and all those other things. And COVID was a real knock to that.
But
now I think people are getting their mojo back and they're all going to play group and they're all going to story time at libraries and things like that. And of course, maternal and child health services are really fantastic in that space. So I think what we want to say to families is, you know, it's not really a matter of preparing, you know, just do what you do and be with your children, talk to your children, get to know your children, see what they can do, see what they struggle with and be with them. Wherever they're up to, they're up to. It would be important, I think, at that time, if you're thinking, oh, I'm not sure, have a conversation with an early childhood teacher. Go and talk to the maternal and child health nurse and see what they say. Often in playgroup situations, if you are in playgroup situations, you can see your children thriving and then you get a pretty strong message that this is a child who wants to be hanging out with other children. I think also it'd be, if you know, if there's any concerns or anything like that, it's good to have those conversations early. So if you have any worries or you're not sure about that, then great, talk to your GP, talk to the maternal and child health nurse, but have that conversation. What we generally say in terms of children who, you know, are going to get the most out of that time is that they do need to feel a strong sense of, you know, connection to you, that that relationship with you is really important. So if for some children it's going to be a bit tricky to start, there's going to be tears, but that's okay. And in my experience, you know, and I've met lots of children, lots of families and lots of educators, they pretty much all get there in the end.
Yeah.
Some children take 6 weeks, some children take 6 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's okay. If we would want to say that if the children are ready whenever they, you know, come to us, you know, it's important that we sort of pay attention to the sort of start times, et cetera. So your child has turning three and then joining the three-year-old program. But, you know, if there are things that we want to work on in that time, we'll talk to you about that. But also families sometimes know their children and they think actually they're feeling, you know, they're quite uncertain about the world. So I'm going to hold back. And then for some children who are quite young in the group, families often make a decision there, which is actually, you know, a good decision. They're not necessarily the oldest in the group, but they're the youngest so that they can maybe start the next year.
Yeah.
But I'd like to say that, you know, come to us whenever, you know, as soon as your child is eligible, we're ready and we'll work with you about what needs to happen for your child. And at the other end of that, if we need to get other things happening, then we'll talk to you about what that looks like.
And it's interesting what you said. I mean, obviously Harvey hasn't gone into kinder yet, but even with daycare, with my experience with that, it was important that for us, the biggest part was him socializing with other kids. Cause I could see him at parks. He would just stand and observe. He was a bit of an observer and I'd be like, do you want to go play? And he'd be like, nope. It's like, he wasn't really sure how to communicate and approach him. And he had some friends that he would catch up with, but he was still always like a little bit of the reserved one in that, in those groups. But I think, and even when he started daycare, it took some time for him to actually be happy to be dropped off. Like he did not want to stay there, but we knew by looking through the window and getting the updates that as soon as we left, he was happy eating his Rice Bubbles on the table with everyone else. Like it was fine, but it was really hard, those drop-offs initially. And it's only really been the last month that he's being like, okay, bye, like happy, happy to drive. But now the difference in him when we go to a park and he sees complete strangers' kids and he's like looking at them smiling. Sometimes I don't even need to say anything. Sometimes he'll just approach them by himself. But like the other day we were at the beach and I was like, oh, that girl's got a bucket. Do you want to, maybe you can see if you can play with her. And he was like, yeah, and just ran over, spent the whole time with her. And I kept looking over at the dad like, sorry, you're basically babysitting my child, but this is fabulous. Like just chilling with my own husband, having some time. But it does. It's changed him so much in his confidence around other kids. And I can imagine for kids who may not have gone to daycare, the kinder will do just the same.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, those skills about feeling confident to tackle something new, you know, life's like that.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have, you get a new phone, you know, you have to go and be social in something. You're going to have to be with other people.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be friends with them forever.
No.
You just have to figure out how you're going to be with them. And those, that's a skill. And some children, you know, have a lot of that natural capacity, but some children have to learn it.
Yeah.
And when you're together with other children, with supportive adults around you in the form of those amazing early childhood teachers out there and all those educators, they are going to support children. And the other thing that I think is really important for us to share with our, you know, all our peeps out there is that I think it is about, we are interested in children travelling a distance. So we don't necessarily, we've got some big ideas we're heading to, but we want to make sure that for some children, the distance travelled is, you know, when you arrive and you cry for, you know, 40 minutes or something at the beginning, which, you know, does happen and it's okay. That by the end of the 2 years that you're with us, that you can say, bye, mum, or even not even say anything because you've found someone on the other side that you really like and that you've forgotten even to say goodbye to your mum. And everyone looks there and go, jeepers, you remember the time back then when it took 40 minutes to separate them from our legs? But now look at them. So that's the sort of thing that we'd want to see happen. And it's going to be different for every child.
For sure, for sure. Okay, I want to finish on maybe this more of the logistical side of things, but just definitely some like takeaways for those who are looking at enrolling their kids in kinder. Number one, how far in advance do you need to do that? How do you find the right kinder for you? How do you work that out? Like, what are the questions you might ask in visiting those kinders?
Well, we absolutely know that people talk to each other, so I think it is about talking to your people in your community. People often make some really significant decisions around where they're going to go based on where they live and the community that they want to be a part of. And I think post-COVID, I think people are thinking about community. So, you know, think about that. Go for a walk, see where the centres are. For kindergarten, of course, there's sort of enrolments about two, you know, when you get to be about two. And lots of all the local governments would have information about that. Have a look around. You'll be able to find information. Some of those are places where there's central registration processes where you sort of put your name on a list and off you go, and they'll give you some allocation. But about two is a good time to put your name down. Of course, those people who are in early childhood services with long day programs, like you've been, that you could talk about how children make a transition in the same service all the way through.
Yeah, he just goes upstairs.
So that's about have a conversation early about what that looks like. And hopefully people are talking to families about that in saying this is what's going to look like. And I think also I would absolutely encourage people to go and have a look at places. Go and knock on their door and say hello. Lots of tours are offered. But even if there's not a tour, I would ring them up and say hello. There's some good information online. The Australian Education Care and Education Quality Authority are a place you can look at. So they've got a really good, some good websites, lots of places. Yeah. And also, you know, the Raising Children Network, a really good Royal Children's Hospital network. It gives you lots of information about what to look for. But also trust your instinct.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like
feel for a place.
If food is really important to you.
Yeah, talk to the chef.
Go and say, what sort of food do you offer, you know?
Yeah.
If relationships are really important to you, then go and say, well, how do you sort of resolve conflict? What happens if my child gets into a bit of a, you know, argy-bargy with another child, you know, what happens there? If hygiene and going to the toilet, washing your hands and all those sorts of functional things are important to you, ask questions about that. And I think, you know, come with all the questions. No dumb questions. So, you know, it's your child. So you've got the right to ask all of those questions. some of that sometimes families ask very logistical questions like, where do you put this and where's the bag go and what happens if you lose a sock, you know, how does that all that work? And you want to be knowing all of that. It is at times complex, I'd have to say. Yeah. You know, we hang out and all the time, we know all that stuff. But I think when families first encounter it, they think, oh gosh, lots of things. So one little piece of advice that I would say is don't try and get it all in your head straight away.
Think about the most important
thing. Yeah, what's the most important thing? Do that first. And then when you get like 6 weeks into it, you might go, okay, now I get what I want to ask. I want to say, so what's this play thing you're doing? You know, they're coming home with sand in their shoes. Are they learning anything? Yeah. You know, so ask a question then after you're in it, because sometimes it's hard to know what to ask before you start. Mm. So I think, you know, we're very open to all questions and we don't mind saying the same. You know, if you want to ask the same question 15 times, then ask the same question 15 times. It's your child.
Yeah.
You're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
And until you're feeling satisfied that you know what the answer is.
Yeah.
And that's an important thing. But I think going to visit, you'll know. You'll know. Mm. You'll go in there and you go, I love this place.
Mm.
Or I met somebody that was really fantastic and they were really warm and relational. We do want families to feel comfortable and confident about leaving their child. Mm. There's a lot of regulations behind this which protect the safety of children and, of course, expectations around quality. So ask quality questions as well. Mm. Look around, see what's on the walls and you know, talk to your local community.
Yeah. So Harvey's not 3 yet. He's turning 3 in May. When does he start 3-year-old kinder?
Well, depends on where you go.
Okay.
So some programs offer an opportunity for children to start before they're 3
mm-hmm.
and the ratios of educators to children will match that. So our job as early childhood professionals in this space is to work out what age of children we have and to figure out how many educators we need.
Mm.
So if there are children who are under the age of 3, we'll need to change the arrangements about staffing. Some services only take children at 3 because of the arrangements around staff.
Mm.
So mostly, in fact, as I said, I was at a service recently and they've got some children who are yet to start. So they'll start as soon as they turn 3. And but it's a little bit different in different places. Our long day services that are catering for children birth to 5 have a bit more opportunity to do that. And they have 3 to 4-year-old or 3 to 5-year-old rooms or programs that stretch across that. And sometimes in those cases, they take children who are under the age of 3, just in that little window.
Mm.
But mostly we are accepting children when they turn 3.
Yeah, because when you start school, because my memory of it was I was a Jan baby.
Mm.
So I technically started when I was 4, but then I was 5 straight away.
Straight away.
For Harvey, because he's May, that's past that kind of cutoff for school starting, isn't it?
Yes, because we're in April.
Yeah. That. So yes. Does that mean he'll be at kinder for potentially 3 years?
He can access funded kindergarten program for 2 years.
Yeah. Yep.
In some special circumstances, some children get an additional year, but it's only when they've got some significant things that they need to work on before they go to school. We were really encouraging children to be coming into their 3 and 4-year-old kindergarten. We hope that because we've got 2 years of funded kindergarten, we can address some of the things that might be challenges that we've had in the past by only having 1 year. So we want to be able to do some of that work in that two years. But as you know, Harvey's or had other early childhood education because he's been a part of a different program.
Yeah.
So we would be really strongly encouraging families to think, well, you know, I've got a lively 2-year-old who really loves hanging out with other children.
Yeah.
Why am I not considering maybe accessing a long day service for my 2-year-old?
Mm.
And of course, many families are doing that for work-related purposes well. So I think the teams that are in the early childhood services, as well as local government often, and indeed the Department of Education with their information, will help you navigate that.
Yeah,
because you're right. There's a lot of people going, okay.
Doing the maths.
Correct.
The math. Yeah.
That's right. So it is helpful to think about what that might look like and where you're heading. Some children might, you know, you might be talking early about what other supports children need, particularly if they have some special rights, some special needs in that space. But for most children, it's going to be a fairly sort of lockstep process as they move into the first years of school.
I think I'm remembering now talking to my friend about it. I think she could technically start her little one because similar age to Harvey in kinder as of next year. But because of the place that she's looking enrolling and some of her friends and stuff like that, she's wanting to almost do those 2 years and then flow into kinder with some of the same group of children. Yep, and absolutely. That's how she's thought of it too. Yeah.
And look, you know, there's a bit of strategizing going on too, isn't there? You know, like in thinking, you know, I'm thinking about this time, of course, you know, you might be having another baby as well in that time and thinking, okay, hold on, now I need to do something different because now I've got a, you know, a 6-month-old who doesn't sleep. Mm. So I need to do some different things. So things change, you know. It's a pretty fluid time, early childhood, and that time in families' lives with lots of things happening. So, and you can change your mind and say, actually, I thought I'd wait a year, but they're actually eligible now, and I think it's right for us.
Yeah, okay.
And they're going to be the youngest, but I feel they're pretty confident, and it's going to go okay. So trust your instinct.
Love it. The last one, actually, because I've seen this one come up in our Kick Bump Facebook group before about different daycares and kindergartens. Is there a blanket rule when it comes to toilet training, or does it really come down to the individual kindergarten? What they like, as in. Can my child go to kindergarten if they're not quite toilet trained? Was the question.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they can.
Okay.
Because we don't have a rule that says you have to be at this particular time before you start. You have to be 3 in order for us to meet the ratios between children and educators. But no, we might be talking to you before you come about the toileting facilities. We might, you know, that's a good thing. Go and have a look at those and see what we've got. I was just talking to a service yesterday who've had to install some change facilities for children because they do have children who are not quite toilet trained. We'll be talking to you about that and we'll be saying, let's work on that together. We do know that children now are toilet training later in life. So, you know, not at the sort of year, 18 months level, a bit later. But, hey, you know, it's individual children. Some children take a little bit longer to do that. We'll be talking to you about what you need to bring along, you know, changes of clothes, et cetera, pull-ups and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But, yes, we want to say yes to a child and we'll work on what that looks like as we proceed. There might be times when we want to talk to you a little bit about how it's going.
Yeah.
And if we feel like we're not making as much progress, then we might want to get some more assistance. But for the most part, when children see other children doing this sort of stuff, they're thinking, okay, I know how to do this. This is good. And we give them lots of support and we give them lots of reminders.
Yeah.
You know, do you need to go to the toilet? You know? So we're constantly supporting that process.
Yeah.
Come along. We don't want that to stop you coming along.
Oh, that's really good to hear. That's really good to hear. And certainly it's helped, daycare's helped Harvey with his toilet training. I can see it, absolutely. We'd kind of dabbled in it before, but now he is a lot more aware, particularly when he's in the nude. He'll be like, oh, I need to go to the toilet. Yeah. I need to go to the toilet. Yeah. And he's much more vigilant with washing his hands. That is all.
Very good. We work hard on that. That's good for the whole of the society.
Yeah, exactly. but thank you so much. I feel like I've learned so much and I'm sure the community are going to get so much out of this chat. And thank you for everything that you do in general as well.
Thank you very much. And a big shout out to all of our early childhood educators out there who are working with families. It's an absolute honour to work with families. And we feel we spend time in such a hopeful place because we spend time with very young children who you know, imagine the world full of possibilities. So it's a great thing to do.
Thank you for joining, guys. Hope you enjoyed that chat. If you would like more info, you can check out our show notes of the episode. And if you would like to get involved with the Kick Pod, you can find us on Instagram @KickPod. Send us a voice note or DM or question there. And we'll be posting all our videos and behind the scenes on that Kick Pod Insta too. So you can show your support by giving us a follow. And if you would like to join a bit of a virtual mothers group is what we like to call it. We have our Kick Bump Facebook group. So you're all welcome there. There's so much love and support in that group. It's something that I'm very proud to be a part of, and we would love to have you. If you would like to learn more about Kick, you can head to our website, kickapp.com, or you can head to the Apple Store and Google Play Store. And if you'd like to join Kick, we have a 7-day free trial. We will be back in your ears very shortly. Bye.